Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to target nearly every mood and health concern that you can think of. I'm talking about Mood.com's incredible line of functional gummies. And you can get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code BROS. Forget the one-size-fits-all supplements that you can only get high on. We're done with that, all right? Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood that you're looking for, whether that's the Mind Magic gummies for deep work and creativity, or the PMS support to ease cramps and balance mood swings, or their sexual euphoria gummies to help you feel ready for action and turn every touch into a full body experience. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much anywhere these days, but Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get to that perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with the code BROS. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use the promo code BROS when you check out to save 20% on your first order.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Stop shuffling through life like a zombie. You're bumming everybody out. Grab a CardoMax Energy Intensifier and wake up. Owned and operated by former Navy SEAL Sean Mattson, CardoMax's Energy Intensifier will help you power through your workouts and dead afternoons with vitamins B3, B6, B12, caffeine, and BCAAs. Use the promo code DB to get 30% off your next four orders at CardoMax.com. That's CardoMax.com, helping you achieve your max.
Whoa, D'Anthony. Back at
Sunday,
it, dude.
Sunday,
you can't.
Sunday.
You can't kill me. I'm like Jason, dude.
Yeah, it's like the Austin Buyers Club in here.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to get you on the HGH. We're going to get you on the PrEP. Isn't that the AIDS drug PrEP plus or whatever?
Yeah, that's no, that's for preventing it.
Oh, yeah. It's preventing it. What do you take after?
So he didn't take PrEP.
Yeah. Oh. The beauty of it is, as much as you guys talked about it while I'm away, at least I showed up looking like it.
Yeah. Yeah,
we didn't. So that way,
it wasn't like cool. It wasn't like Jussie Smollett.
No,
right? You didn't fake the whole thing.
I didn't fake it.
Yeah,
you can see how gaunt I am. My voice is not completely back. I'll work up to that. I said this on Ross Patterson Revolution this morning. For those who don't listen to that show, I'll tell you now. I was in the hospital with pneumonia,
double pneumonia, which is some. It sounds worse. And that's because it is.
It is.
If you have fluid like filling up half of both of your lungs, that's not a good. That's not a good look.
17 liters were extracted.
Jesus Christ.
17.
There's 8 liters of blood in your body, for reference.
Yeah. My entire right side still looks like a shotgun went off. I look like I was hunting with Dick Cheney. It's holes because I had a bunch of chest tubes, all that other stuff. I've had pneumonia in the past.
Yeah,
usually
I've had it
it's from overworking and not enough sleep.
Well, for me, it was I've had it once, and it was bronchitis and pneumonia, which is basically the same thing that happened to you.
Correct. And the thing about it is, and we've talked about this all the time, we're self-financed here. It's just me and Dan for this entire operation. Therefore, we have to handle all the phone calls, emails, lawyers, CPAs, all of the things all the time. Not enough sleep, too much work, and then lights out, guerrilla radio. I went down, back, voice will be back in a little bit. Weight-wise, I'm only doing AIDS movies. I'm going back to the new guy.
Yeah, well, you weren't even this thin on the new guy, I don't think.
Yeah, I know. Probably not.
That was like you were. If it was a hill, you were just over the edge. The hill.
Probably not. But I want to thank you for keeping the show going, day in and day out. Hot Bob, Delco, Dan, Giorgio, thanks for keeping Drinking Bros going, keeping the content going for everybody else out there. Nothing else really needs to be said about it.
Yeah.
But they were not lying about having AIDS, and we're going to live that out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll die on air.
Well, a lot of people, there have been a lot of conspiracy theories as well. One is that you got bottom surgery, which is bottom surgery is sex reassignment surgery for your bottom part. So it's like not mastectomy or fake titties, but getting your dick cut off and then jammed up inside you to make a vagina.
Okay. Yeah. I'm not going to rule it out.
There's no evidence to the contrary.
I was in a coma.
Yeah.
So I don't know what they did and didn't do, but I'll take all of it.
Philadelphia 2 Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm doing the I said earlier, I'm doing the prequel to Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah. It's
because we never saw him
where
younger.
He just got AIDS now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think you got to see some of the risky behavior that led up to the AIDS in the first place.
Yes.
I want to see Tom Hanks fucking dudes is what I'm saying.
Yeah. You want to see full candelabra.
Yeah.
Michael Douglas fucking Matt Damon. Mm-hmm. Like, you want to see that. And I definitely want to be a part of it.
Yeah.
I want to be a bottom in that. You guys know how much I love gay sex scenes anyways. But in all sincerity, thanks for the well wishes and the support and everything else. Nothing crazy. No AIDS. No rare blood disease, not Lyme disease, although I look like it. And feel free to light up the comment section. So I don't care.
We are thinking about making RIP Ross shirts. But, you know.
It'd be great. I'll wear it every day.
Yeah. But we have today that now that we've got some house cleaning out of the way. By the way,
this
is a Grinch tree.
It's great. Who did that?
Brittany bought this somewhere.
But it's amazing.
I'm the Grinch because she wants to have 30 fucking trees in the house, a 12-foot tree and a bunch of bullshit. And I'm the Grinch because, hey, are you sure that we need this? Yeah. Like, oh, Grinch.
Yeah.
May as well just call me racist or something. Anyways, we've got, speaking of lung AIDS, we've got one of our dear friends back, Richard Stayskull.
Yes.
Who, you know, we were proud to help butt fuck the U.S. government a little bit. And we've got one of your buddies, Matt Beam, who's looking to do some butt fucking of his own.
Yeah.
Yeah, buddy.
Richard, we'll start with you. You currently still have cancer, correct?
Yeah, so currently I'm still technically stage 4, so terminally ill, palliative care, whatever you want to call it, end-of-life care. But I go down to Florida to Moffitt Cancer Center once a month right now and do like an infusion and Opdivo. So far it's keeping it at bay. Doesn't change my diagnosis, unfortunately. It just means I don't have active tumors continuously kicking my ass, so I can focus on the other issues on the side. But doing pretty well, man. I'm glad to be back here again. I really appreciate you guys giving us some time. And I don't know if you guys all remember us, pretty rough time in my life and the last time I was on, so this time I'm a little more fucking jazzed up to be here
and
talk more, a little more lively. So I appreciate it.
I mean, one, you've got stage 4 cancer and you look better than me. And I don't know how that's possible.
Well, it's because he can grow a beard like a man.
Yeah, I guess. But Jesus, man. Like, I'm the one who looks like I'm going to pass in like an hour. You look incredible. You look. I don't know if it's okay to say this. You looked a lot healthier. You look a lot healthier now than you did last time you were on the show, actually. And I don't know if that's the drugs or everything else you're on, but you look great.
Yeah, no, I think it is. You know, I hate having to be relying on modern medicine, but man, you know, I'm so thankful for it at the end of the day. Mm. And, you know, I'm glad I'm not being naturally selected out just at the moment. So
right,
I'm good.
Yeah. Look, you look fantastic. It's great to have you back on the show. For those who forgot or might not have listened to that episode, it was one of our biggest we've ever had, actually. Mm. You were fighting the U.S. government. Explain to the audience what it was, because you had a fragment that was stuck inside your body.
Right. Well, the issue was it was medical malpractice, and when the government you work for them, you can't sue or ask for any compensation towards the government
because of the Fairies doctrine, which was the Fairies doctrine was some rules passed back in the day, and the purpose of it was to. I guess give them enmity if test pilots for new experimental aircraft got fucked up, and which is what Lady G Lindsey Graham referenced whenever asked about this stuff. Yeah, I remember everything. Unfortunately, that's my curse.
Yeah, so you know, so with your guys' help, man, you know, it's not illegal in court action now because mainly, because of Senator Graham, basically, but. We got the next best thing, thanks to a couple of congressmen like Mark Wayne Mullen and Senator Inhofe and Richard Hudson. We ended up getting it through the NDAA, and now you can file compensation through the military as a claims act, which by no means is it a perfect situation, a perfect world, but hey, man, it's never existed before. So now it's an option. They are slow rolling still. So, I mean, I'm hearing word it should be. Hopefully here in the next few months, they should actually start. But I know they're reviewing claims and actively taking interest in it now because, you know, it's definitely an issue that's highlighted and they can't ignore it anymore. So, like I said, hopefully we'll keep trucking on and keep adding things to this along with, you know, what we're here for today. But things are going good, man. And I owe a lot to you guys for your guys' support and help on that.
And of course, we're glad to help. And Natalie Kwom, also a huge part of that. She's she's the best. She's if you're out there in the military and you think you've got a real grievance, she's probably the person to talk to.
You know what's wild is actually she's doing some pretty high profile cases, and I've seen her on the news with two or three of them. One I believe was that missing
Vanessa Guillen. She represents the family there. She represents quite a few people. Actually.
Quite a few people, and I don't know if she blew up after your case.
But I don't think people in the military ever know where they can go to for help, right? Because it's seen as a bad form to go outside of your chain of command, typically. We're taught to stay inside the chain of command. One, to protect everybody from low-level shit getting blown out of proportion. It's a good rule for that purpose. But when it's a toxic command climate, then it becomes a real fucking problem, and that's what we're going to talk about today.
Right. And you know, to add to that, man, like to where you can go, there's virtually nowhere you can go. And not just the command part, but I mean, we called almost 12 attorneys across the country, and every one of them listened to at least a 20-minute story just to say, hey, man, sorry, but ain't shit you can do. But the simplest way anybody can think about it, man, none of this exists today without Natalie. The one only person out there, and go figure, she's an attorney. Which, you know, almost all attorneys, all they care about is taking your money and screwing you.
Yeah.
One person in the world, what are the odds that we would find her? You know what I mean? She's not, like I said, none of this exists and none of it will continue to go forward without owing a huge gratitude and thanks to her.
Yeah. She's an amazing person and a great attorney. Right. Tell us about your buddy who's with us today.
Yeah, so Matt here, I got a call from another friend of ours, reached out, was like, hey, man, have you heard about Matt? And, you know, everybody likes to kind of tell me what's going on with dudes in the military and whatnot. And I don't like hearing about it, but I love hearing about it because if I can help. But so he shot me this video that Matt had done on YouTube, and I didn't need to get much more than 4 minutes into it. And I already basically knew the story. I mean, I ended up watching it all later and everything, but I instantly reached back out and was like, hey, bro, I need to link up with Matt and see what we can do to help him out. It's just such a good time right now, you know, especially with a lot of the drawdowns that the military needs to step up and address these issues that are going on. And we have the best foot forward right now and the best advantage to make these changes. So I just jumped on with Matt, started working with them, telling them, you know, based off my experience with what I had done. And we started shooting out emails to some senators and congressmen and women, and kind of just passed Matt off from there. And he just starts telling a story, and it's, you know, it's another one you can't shy away from. You can't ignore it. It's a huge issue, you know, mental health. It's been going on for a very long time. And I know a lot of dudes push it to the wayside because we're busy, you know? And
yeah. Well, it's not just about dudes being busy though. There's no infrastructure set up to support that kind of thing. Like,
if right. Well, I just mean, we are so willing as who we are doing our job to say, I will deal with me later.
Right. Yeah.
There's a greater good and greater purpose out there. Mm. And that's what needs to be addressed. So we put ourselves aside in our needs, you know, for, because what we believe in and what we want to do. But yes, I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying. It's not set up correctly.
No, it's
not. It is set up for failure for the most part. It's like when they started doing, oh, you know, if you got TBI, let us know. And it was like, yeah, right, dude. Why would I let you know? You just want to build a case against me to get me out of here as fast as you can. But I just think right now, it's a really great time. And I think there's no better dude than Matt that can lead this charge. And like I said, with your guys' help, I know we can start a big movement again and really keep helping the military out.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, you know, before we start the show, you guys, all of our guests will pop up for a little bit, and then we'll get into it and go live on YouTube. When I first saw him, my instant thought was, oh shit, the cancer's gotten so bad he's lost all of his hair. And hey, I didn't know whether to ask or not. And it turns out you're the normal one.
Hey, my grandma told me hair's a crutch, so I'm doing good.
That's
okay. Now you look great. You're wearing it well. Did you know Richard's story beforehand?
Yeah, actually, I met Rich. So I do a lot of charity work, fundraising stuff. Mm-hmm. Like last 5 years, I've raised over $1 million for veterans, Gold Star families, other Green Berets and stuff. We have a mutual friend. I run charity gun matches, and I had a friend reach out to me and say, hey, I need, I knew about Rich, and he's like, hey, I want to do a fundraiser for Rich. And I'm like, okay, what's the time frame? And he was like, 2 weeks. And I was like, bro, come on. And so, but reached out to, I'm in good with a lot of companies and everything. And I reached out, and we did a gun match fundraiser for him out at our friend Doc's house and everything. I think we raised like 20 some thousand dollars and everything. And that's the first time I'd met Rich personally. So
was that the one that Kyle Rittenhouse won? Or was that another one? That was the one in Kenosha, right?
Yeah, that one was that one is a little later.
Okay, gotcha. Gotcha.
That was a Kenosha free gun.
Yeah, I didn't know. But he's got more stateside than Dan does. So
he does. Yeah. I'm thinking about getting my girl pregnant a couple times so I can abort them and then at least have some credit. Like, I know
something on your resume.
It's almost like getting an honorary doctorate, but it's something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It is something.
I don't know. I'm just depressed.
What are you guys working on together today?
Right now, I mainly am Matt's the warrior, man. He's the one leading this thing. I'm just supporting him as best I can. Like I said, using my experience and knowledge, and there's no reason for him to figure this out on his own when I have things to offer him. And you guys know me, man, I don't like doing this. I do not like the fact that my face is on here, but I won't sit by and just harbor knowledge that I can't hand down. So, but basically I just, like I said, just jumped on emails up to DC with Matt, and then, you know, reaching out to you guys and whoever else I can, but Matt's the one that's killing it right now doing this.
Sure. What do you have in the works, man?
So, basically I'll kind of like start off and everything. So, 2 years ago I went and asked for mental help, and my story is like thousands of other current and former service members and everything, where you put it all out there and everything, you're open and honest, and your chain of command turns around and uses it against you. And there's zero protections for service members when they come and ask for help. There's nothing but loophole after loophole after loophole, that at the end of the day, the command can make their own decision and do what they want with you. For example, if you're on the sixth floor under suicide watch in Womack Army Medical Center here in Fort Bragg. As soon as they're done with your chapter paperwork, essentially, they can throw you on the other side of the gate and say, have a nice life. And there's nothing that, like, there's literally nothing that protects the service member. And Rich and I have been working together. So I've actually been working with Senator Einhoff's office and Richard Hudson's office and a few others to, regardless of my situation, I'll go into my own personal situation because I know for a fact it's going to resonate with thousands of other soldiers who have similar stories to mine. When we go and ask for help, like they tell us to, and it's literally career suicide for us. And but the big thing at the end of the day, I'm hoping, regardless of my situation, I want to get a bill passed to be able to protect service members, because it's not going, our suicide rate isn't going to get any better until service members are comfortable going to ask for help, know they're going to be protected and everything. Because at the end of the day, like, your car needs to change your oil. You need to do maintenance on your gun. And every human being at some point in time needs self-maintenance. Mm. And you need to normalize being comfortable to be able to go and be honest and have humility and everything and be like, hey, man, I need help, and not having to worry about getting shoved in a corner somewhere like you have a dunce cap on and treated like shit.
Yeah. I mean, look, the hardest thing to hear about what you're saying is, as dudes, we don't typically ask for help. We don't typically say that there's something wrong with us, in particular mental health. And when you do, it's such a large hurdle to overcome that hearing that you're having a hard time asking for help once you finally get over that mental hurdle of doing it and then going through this process is a fucking nightmare to me.
Dude, the worst, the most exhausting part, like, everybody that knows me, I'm literally the most happy-go-lucky guy. And I would do all these fundraisers and help all these other people. Me putting on the face and pretending that I was okay was literally the most exhausting thing. And it, like, when I finally had a friend come up from Florida and visit me, and you know what we're really bad at, like men or military people in general, is we're bad at being a friend. We're good at being a bro. We're like, hey man, you're having a shitty day, let's go out and have a beer or whatever, shoot the shit. And we're good at being the bro, putting a band-aid on it, but we're not good at being a friend and being like, hey man, you're fucked up, like, talk to me and stuff, asking the hard questions. And just like that made a huge difference for me. One of my best friends came up from Florida. He literally looked like, he's like, dude, you look like smashed ass. Like, are you okay? And it felt like 100 years for me to be like, no, I'm not okay. And that was like being a good friend and not trying to just, 'cause it's taboo at the end of the day, like being a man, like if you're the breadwinner, you're the patriarch of your family, if you're in the military and stuff, like you're this warrior and everything like that. And it's so taboo, like being a man or just in the military in general, whether you're male or female, because you're, I guess, alpha male, if you will, or alpha female and stuff. It's just something you don't talk about. And another thing that doesn't help you if you're in a leadership position, if you're a sergeant major, a team leader, a team sergeant, and you say, hey, I need mental help, you're immediately removed from that leadership position and put in a corner. Mm. And a lot of times at the end of the day, like that's what's holding you together is being with your dudes every day. That's what's holding you together. And why would I go ask for help if this is the thing that's keeping me going every day? And like, I need this to keep going every day. Why am I going to go ask for help? And all you're going to do is learn negative coping mechanisms and start self-medicating and everything. And you're just going to start circling the drain, going down and down and down, just like I did myself, until I had somebody be a friend and be like, man, you're fucked up. Like, let me help you.
Right.
What was the moment that really pushed you to ask for help? Because I think a lot of people struggle with what that is. I think talking about it and hearing about it, what was the final straw for you where you were like, look, I can't take this anymore. It's either ending my life or asking for help.
So, I mean, in the beginning, it's really weird. kind of like backtrack a little bit on your question. It's like, people like, when did you know you were depressed? And it's like, I don't know the day that I was depressed. Like, I mean, it's just like, you're just like kind of bummy. I'll be good next day. Take a knee, drink water, whatever. I'll go to the gym. And then you just slowly start losing interest in everything. And like for myself, because like where I work, it's absolutely like, you don't go ask for mental help, like don't do it. And so like I started using drugs and alcohol and everything as a, because I didn't know any positive coping mechanisms, because when you go ask for help, that's when you start learning these and you get the help that you finally need. That's when you start learning these positive coping mechanisms. But like it was, I genuinely knew I needed help because I was I wasn't sleeping. Like it was like mentally a struggle for me every day to like not think about wanting to take my own life. And it literally just took my friend coming up to me and asking me the hard question, like straight up being honest to me. And because I mean, I had a lot of people ask me if I was okay and I'd be like, yeah, man, I'm good. I'm just kind of in a funk, like no big deal. But it was like, hey, man, like you look like shit. Like what's going on? And like people who are listening to this, like don't be afraid to ask the hard question, because I mean, that can be the defining moment in somebody's life instead of, hey, man, let's go have a beer or whatever and just kind of laugh about stuff. And that's essentially just a small Band-Aid. And it's that hard question and, or that hard, like truthful statement, like, man, you like, I know you're fucked up, man. I know you're struggling. Like, talk to me, what's going on? And being that friend or family member, instead of like a bro, whatever, just trying to put a Band-Aid on it. Like you need to go up to that person, essentially just like be straightforward, punch them in the chest and be like, look, motherfucker, like, I know you're hurting.
Yeah, you have to appeal to what matters to the person. I mean, people like us, what matters to us is the honor and camaraderie, right? Like, hey, you're letting your fucking team down right now, bro. Like, you may be letting them down a little bit less right now by self-medicating and hanging in there, but in the long term, you're letting them down, you're letting your family down. Get your fucking shit together.
You know what I mean? You know, something I realized over time, just my experience with it is, what I learned within myself personally was, I had to think about what are like the two things that I loved the most. What were like, what keeps me going in my life?
And beer for me, and it pussy.
Was Rihanna, right, specifically Rihanna.
Okay.
Well, yeah. I like to think those are just me, you know, but
Marlboro Reds and Rihanna.
But you know, my kids, my family, and then my work, I'm not defined by being a Green Beret. I don't need to be one at home to feel good about myself, but it was something that I'm passionate about. I mean, I've dedicated 20 years of my life to the military, 16 plus to being a Green Beret. And when I got to the point, it was like, I don't even want to go to fucking work today. Or I don't even want to play with the kids and throw the football around, you know, or whatever. And that was just something for me. It was just like, dude, the two things that I say that I love the most, and I know I love the most, are struggle. That's what I'm like, man, what's going on in my life right now? I've got something up and I don't know what, but those were good indicators for me that I learned to use over the years.
Yeah. Life, it seems like we've been programmed over the last 500,000 to a million years or so to, and maybe it's common in all intelligent life, but programmed to have some kind of purpose. Like there's gotta be a reason to do shit. Otherwise you won't fucking do it. And, you know, if you're cruising around with none, you're heading fucking nowhere fast, buddy. I mean, that is not good for anybody. I don't care how, if you're a loner or whatever, if you're just, not really into, being around a bunch of people or whatever it is, but you better have something going on. Otherwise you're fucked.
Yeah.
When you went into therapy, by the way, sorry to interrupt you. Did they trace back or ask you to trace back what it was that caused the depression?
No, I mean, they asked me like what are some indicating factors and everything. But like, I've had a copious amount of friends commit suicide, like 7. And then I've had multiple friends die on combat rotations and everything too. And it's funny that like being a Green Beret and stuff, and that kind of shit is so normalized to you. Like you have your moment and then you just keep driving on. And like a lot of us don't realize that like year after year after year, just a little bit of that, it just builds and builds and builds and builds. And in retrospect, like looking at myself over the years and everything, and then seeing other friends, like, and it's really easy for me to be like, hey man, I know you're struggling and everything, like, because I know like the indicators that they were going through and everything. But like for them to like trace it back and everything, I guess I just started telling my story and to providers and everything. And then they're like, well, it's funny because you don't know how much this actually affects you, like mentally, physically, everything like that. And then we have like all the overpressure being blown up on IEDs, door charges, Carl Gustav rounds, everything like that too, and getting our brain rattled and stuff. And it's just, it literally just takes a little bit of you at a time, just over a year by year, month by month by month and stuff. And that's why I stress to like all my buddies and everything, like, hey man, everybody needs self-maintenance. Like you got to change your oil sometimes, man, go talk to somebody. Yeah. And just learn these positive coping mechanisms and everything, because turning to drugs and alcohol is not the right answer. Like, there is people out there that genuinely care. There are organizations that genuinely will help you. It took me a little bit longer, like way longer than it should have, because of some circumstances with some swim people that I will get into when I start telling my story, because there's so many people, and especially like when I was finally getting the treatment that I needed and everything, and just hearing other people's stories, just asking for help and everything and getting burned. And one thing that commands lack big time is spreading the knowledge and talking to the service members and the lower enlisted or whatever. And so they know the options, know where they can go to, like who they can talk to and everything, because this is the big issue. They sit there and they want to make it seem like, oh, come talk to me. If you have any problems, come talk to us. And little do we know, you can come talk to them, but this can go one of two ways. They can take care of you, or they can use everything you come and talk to them against you. And because there's just a loophole that essentially, like if you come talk to them, they're mandated to be able to have to report you if you come and say you're using drugs and alcohol and shit. Mm. But yeah, they always stress, hey, come talk to us if you need help.
Sure. And the reason why I ask about if there was one specific instance is a lot of people want to say that, hey, there was one specific instance in my past, that's what caused the depression. For you, and I think a lot of people in the military, correct me if I'm wrong, it is built up over time because of all the crazy shit you guys go through, that it's not just one instance all the time.
Well, it's kind of like unaddressed smaller problems, mm-hmm. right, that build up over time. And then obviously, go ahead.
It's like you're a solo cup, though. You know what I mean? Like you got your solo cup, and depending on the situation, it's one drip of water or a fucking open faucet. Mm-hmm. And at some point, unless you're going to take it and consciously take it and dump it out to be able to refill it, it's just going to pour over, you know? And I think that's like a basic analogy of kind of how, what it's like, you know?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And it's funny, as leaders, we'll light a dude up for not keeping his equipment and weapons serviceable. But when he comes to the command to ask to keep himself personally serviceable, they more often than not fuck them over, whether it's a drug issue or whether it's just a mental health issue. And some of that is built in, I guess, naturally. Like if you're going to be gone for an extended period of time, somebody has to be the team leader. You know what I mean? But that speaks less to that particular situation than it does to maybe our rotations are a little bit fucked up, right? Maybe there is, the body is ultimately a machine, as is the mind. And if they're being pressed to the level they have over the last 20 years and that's not working out well, then we need to reevaluate how we do this. Right. That's part of the bigger issue that I don't know that a lot of people are really thinking about, because needs of the army. I'm sure both of you have heard that bullshit phrase before.
Right. Yeah.
And you know, something I was going to tell you guys, I didn't say last time when I was on, but to kind of go along with, you know, Matt, like the incriminating yourself. So when I first went to the ER, when I was having symptoms on post, you know, the doc, you know, they knew I had cancer and didn't tell me still, but they, it was funny because the doc was like, well, you know, you can stay or you can go. It's kind of your choice. He's like, there's nothing more we can do for you now. And I was like, I was talking to my wife and I was like, well, you know, our daughter has a softball game. I guess if nothing else, if I'm okay enough, I'll go over and see it. This dude wrote that down in there, you know, service member request to leave to go see his daughter play softball. And I was like reading that, like, you mother, what the, what? Like, are you kidding me? But they tried to use it against me later on and go, hey, dude, you said you wanted to leave. You didn't even want to be here. And I was like, hell no, dude. Like, he told me, I, you know, I had no reason to stay there. So that's the kind of shit they'll pull on you if you're not careful.
My God, man.
That's really stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine spending
200 pages of stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, I bet. I'm sure. Yeah. Imagine spending $3.5 to $5 million developing an asset and then just deciding one day you don't want to, get rid of them. I guess maybe the football drafts where you get a certain amount of money and each player is ranked by a certain dollar amount.
Yeah.
And you have a basically like a
baseball.
Yeah. You have, fantasy sports as well, but you have like a salary cap basically. You can't just fucking, if you're shedding assets at any kind of rate in the special operations community after these guys have been through at least one selection at that point, then they're probably not the problem.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's been some pretty toxic goddamn soft commands over the years. But now we're seeing these motherfuckers. Well, I mean, the brass in the army in general right now, but across the services are people that have had to make certain compromises with politicians to keep their jobs or get their jobs in the first place. And now you're seeing the trickle down effect of that. It's fucked. It's you have a bunch of sycophant cunts that are standing up in front of Congress just blatantly lying to them, which is fine. I mean, I'm fine with the military lying to Congress. I supported Ollie North doing it because I like him more than Congress. Congress sucks. But anyways, yeah, it's these guys, it's a trickle down effect and there's no accountability. For example, there's a fucking a commander in First Special Forces Group, right, that beat the Christ out of his wife a bunch of times, alcoholic cunt. Put his name in the chat there, Lauren, so I can fucking talk about him. But he's being unceremoniously retired with all of his benefits.
Yeah, he's not getting his tab pulled or nothing.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah, but I go ask for mental health and they're chaptering me out of the
army. His name is Ray something, I think. I don't remember his fucking stupid.
Yeah, he held his family at gunpoint with a standoff with the cops too.
Yeah.
But you want to talk about like equitable punishment?
Owen Ray, that's like Colonel Owen Ray, yeah.
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 Like equitable punishment. Like I went and asked for mental health, man. Like, hey, I was honest. I was like, I'm fucked up. Like, and the fact that this is one thing too, is you as a service member or a human being in general, like you shouldn't be afraid to be 100% honest. You're doing yourself a disservice, your family a disservice, everybody around you a disservice if you aren't 100% honest, because you can't. Yeah,
it's the ultimate meritocracy, because if you're fucked up and can't do something, like if you're not honest and you have a physical injury and it results in somebody's death, that death is on you, right? Mm-hmm. That's just how it is. Yeah. If it goes unreported, the same thing could be said if you're fucking distracted on raids and shit. That's not a good thing, because you've got about 0.3 to 0.5 seconds to make a reaction, right? And that's the ID plus the trigger pull is typically somewhere around 0.4 to 0.6, really, but for you guys it's more like 0.3, 0.5. So
you got to get the sub 0.2s, man. That's where it's at. splits get chicks, man. Splits get chicks. But yeah, and it's funny, like I've talked to so many command sergeant majors and that I've like sat hours going over my entire thing. They're like, because at the end of the day what happened is the commanding officer over all of this, it went with what his legal aid said, because they used everything that I said about like my drug and alcohol use and everything, because I was open and honest. Because what happened was I went and I asked for mental health and I'd self-referred myself. And so I'll kind of give you the whole story. So I went, I was afraid to ask for mental health. I had a toxic leadership at the time. We jumped around him to the sergeant major at the time, who was my old company sergeant major. And he's a good dude. We talked to him and he was like, hey man, all right, everybody's been there. He's like, I've seen mental health. Take 30 days, do what you need to do, go get help. I'm like, do I need to put in a leaf packet, anything like that? And like in our community, like Rich can attest to this too. They're like, hey man, just go take care of yourself. Go take care of your family. Like it's just what people in the soft community do. And he was like, no, just take 30 days, do what you need to do. And he's like, don't worry about leave. And so I went and checked into this facility down in Georgia, which was ended up being a huge fraud. On their website, they're like, hey, return to duty. It was like, they had all this TBI care. Like it was like the shit. Like you looked at it and like, this is exactly what I need. I go down there. And after a week, I'm like, when do I start all this stuff? And the head doctor down there was like, I don't know what you're talking about. I've never seen any of that stuff. So like, apparently what one of the nurses told me is it used to be that, but they sold it. But now it's a 7-day detox facility. And the main doctor was like, I don't even know why you're going to be here for 26 days. We're not even set up here. Because what happens is TRICARE doesn't check in and like look into the programs like regular insurance does. And so like they were just taking TRICARE. And so this is where it starts to go sideways. So my buddy, one of my best friends and stuff, and he calls the shrink that we have assigned to us and stuff. And he's like, hey, this, everything with Matt's bullshit. And she goes, all right, get him out of there right now. Bring him to me. I'll get him into something right away. So I go down and talk to this lady and I'm like, I'm fucked up. I'm completely honest with her. Tell everything that's going on. She's like, well, because I say, I want to get inpatient. And this goes into just like what Rich said, where, cause I actually just got the medical records, her medical records from her the other day. And it took over a year since this started to get like all the 15 sixes together and everything. They've slow rolled the shit out of this stuff. But she goes, I'm not going to recommend you for mental health. I want to peel your onion. And I'm like, what? That, no. What does that even mean? That's not good enough for me. And the fact that when you go ask for help and say you want inpatient, this is another thing too, is like, it should happen. That like a provider, if I'm like, I'm fucked up enough, like I know myself enough, I want to do inpatient. And the fact that she's like, no, I want to peel your onion and stuff. And it's funny because Rick said that, and her statements on that I just got back to, she tried to say that I didn't want, I denied other help and stuff. I said, no, that's not good enough for me. And that I had expressed disdain over her treatment recommendations. I'm like, yeah, what's peeling my onion? And so this sergeant major at the time is retiring. And so he's like, hey, I already called the new guy. And he's tracking everything, good to go. And I show up the day that was agreed upon to come into work. And like multiple people were tracking. I walk in and he's like, hey man, you didn't call and check in. You're AWOL. I'm like, I don't even know you. And I was like, well, Hagnus said he talked to you. He's like, well, this isn't Hagnus. And you should have called to check in. I was like, I was told 30 days to do what I needed to do. And he's like, yeah, I knew all that, but hey man, the big thing is like, especially in this, and we'll get into it too. He tried to pull the, hey, you're an E7. You should have known better than to call in. I was like, why would I call in if I was told 30 days to do what I need to do, take care of myself? Cause I was still going to appointments, still seeing people, still trying to get the help. Like I was looking at my 5-meter target. I wasn't like somewhere in a crack house, like going AWOL and everything. And like besides this guy, like company and group and battalion level stuff, they read my packet. They're like, dude, there are so many mitigating factors on this. Like you were absolutely not AWOL. And for one, there's all these procedures like, hey, when you go ask for mental health, because a lot of times with Green Berets, what they do is they kind of keep in the gray area and do the bro thing, which I mean, it works a lot of the times. But for like asking for mental health and stuff, there's all these procedures that need to be followed. And I don't fault the original guy at all because he had genuine intentions and everything, but there's protocol to it and stuff. And I shouldn't have been left like, I have to be put on TDY and not all this other stuff. And so he calls my doctor and brags to my face at how chummy they are. And then he's like, I'm changing you from self-referred to command referred. So then they get to know everything I tell my provider. So I get a new provider because this chick's a snake. And So they took everything that I had told and used it against me. They even, this is funny, they falsified a urine analysis. So there was no paperwork, no 3822, nothing. And I did a 15-6. And what do commands do when they want to protect themselves? They do internal 15-6s. Mm-hmm. But like that dude made fun of me. I was next door. He was in a command and staff meeting with all the command sergeant majors, commander, everything, makes fun of me and my situation while I'm next door. And him and the former commander that worked together, they falsified multiple statements on behalf of my medical provider. And so, and I know, like, I'm telling this story because there's thousands of other people that this story is going to resonate with. And I do an IG investigation. And so they just do an internal IG investigation. And so my doctor's sworn statements saying that she didn't say any of that stuff, like she was pissed, was not credible evidence to prove that they falsified the documents and that it was a misunderstanding. Your analysis is black and white, dude. You need paperwork. Legal process the urinalysis without paperwork. And they, and it's ridiculous that they, and it took almost a year to get that back. And this, I didn't get any of this back till after I had my, my like chapter hearing and everything too, all this like super relevant evidence. And this is super fucked up. Like what kind of credibility does it give Womack Army Medical Center that you deny my provider to come speak on my behalf? Because command, like you're allowing a command to make medical statements on behalf of a service member who you're providing treatment to and not let your service or not let your provider come and rebuke that shit.
Right.
Like they were like, no, we're not going to let her come talk. And what did the JAG do? He twisted the whole narrative, made it look like that I was fucking like making it up, trying to pass the buck on command and all of this stuff.
Yeah.
And,
I mean, it just for those still service members that are listening to this, this is a good time to remind you that if you have a situation like this, get an external attorney. Don't use a fucking JAG officer because they're in the same goddamn chain of command as the guy that's prosecuting you. Why the fuck would you think there's not going to be some kind of political pressure on them to lean a certain way? All right, gentlemen, before we get on with this show, we got a couple of sponsors to put everything on the air here. First and foremost, ghostbed.com/Drinker Bros. Right now, Ghostbed is offering 40% off Ghostbed bundles where you get a mattress and an adjustable base and then anything else you add to that deal. For everything else, your sheet needs, your pillow needs, your covers, whatever else you got, 30% off everything if you use the code Drinking Bros at ghostbed.com/Drinking Bros. You get that mattress for like 35 or so a month with zero down, zero financing plan for up to 60 months if you qualify. That's ghostbed.com/Drinking Bros. Cooling mattresses, you know, important for big, dumb, sweaty guys like us. And they got the best pillows in the world. 101 night trial. If you don't like it, you can send it back. And a 20-year warranty, which you're not going to get from any other company. So go to ghostbed.com/Drinking Bros. And get them deals today. Next up, we've got HelloFresh. It's really important that people eat more real food. If you ask anybody that's really into the fitness community about what protein powder you should take or this or that, what they're going to tell you primarily is that you should try to eat as much real food as possible because that's what your body digests the most. The problem is going to the grocery store and coming up with recipes and all this stuff, it takes time that a lot of us just don't have. HelloFresh will send you that complete meal kit, and all you do is read the instructions and put them into action. It includes all the food that you need. The holidays are hectic as well. You know, they keep things simple for some of the recipes, just for the day to day. I mean, you're planning these giant meals that take place over 2 or 3 days, but you know, the individual in between meals get lost in the sauce sometimes. So they got 50 menu and market items to choose from every week, including vegetarian options, calorie smart options, plenty of variety. Ingredients travel to from the farm to your door within a week. So there's nothing being added to these things to make them shelf stable, and we know all about that and those issues. So basically, on average, you're going to save about $65 a month when you order HelloFresh instead of grocery shopping, right? So that's not even taking into account the time that you save and the gas money and all that other nonsense. So, you know, we've been using it for a long time. Ross and Jesse use it quite a bit, especially since they're, you know, they got the two young kids. We run a pretty busy schedule, as you know, and it can be a problem sometimes to get all that stuff done. So go to HelloFresh.com, use the code. I'm sorry, go to HelloFresh.com/DrinkinBros14, DrinkinBros14. Use the code DrinkinBros14 for up to 14 free meals and 3 free gifts. It's the holiday season. So go to HelloFresh.com/DrinkinBros14. Use the code DrinkinBros14 for up to 14 free meals and 3 free gifts. HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit. Next up is one that's super relevant today. And that is Talkspace. We're talking about mental health issues today. A lot of people have it. If you're in the military, as you've heard from this episode today, there's a pretty good chance that you're not going to get the care that you need from the institution that you're serving right now. That isn't to cast blame. It's just a reality. So what can you do about that reality? Well, obviously, you got your friends and family, but they're not professionals. People who do this for a living at Talkspace, you can use them the same way that you've used any other telemedicine. You don't have to worry about people finding out about it, chains of command or family members. If you want to keep it discreet, if you just need some help, it makes it possible to speak with a licensed therapist right from your phone, tablet, or computer. Unlike traditional therapy, you can message your therapist anytime via text, video, or voice, and it's 100% secure and stigma-free the way therapy should be. So, I mean, this is, obviously, we're hearing about the inadequacies of the generalized mental health care system in this country, primarily in the military and first responder communities today, but just in general, there's a lot of gaps, and this is one of the ways to overcome that personally. And if you know somebody that maybe you don't need help, but you know somebody that does, make sure you direct them to this talk therapy telemedicine center. It's Talkspace, man. Your privacy and security are the number one priority. It puts the app puts you in a private room. You're just you and your therapist, like you're on a Zoom call. Again, 24/7 messages and replies. You get replies throughout the day instead of waiting a week for an appointment. It's a far better system than simple once a week or, you know, twice a month talk therapy. Whether you struggle with anxiety, depression, self-doubt, anything else, post-traumatic stress, anything. Talkspace gives you access to help you need to move forward. Don't leave your mental health to chance or the amateur advice of well-meaning friends and family. That's a good support system, but it's only a base. You need professional help. So talk to someone who's trained to help you make lasting progress. Join Talkspace today and start moving forward with a single message. Just visit Talkspace.com and get $100 off your first month when you use the promo code DrinkerBros at sign up. That's $100 off. Talkspace.com, promo code DrinkerBros. All right, boys, let's get back to it.
Oh, I had a civilian and a military attorney, yeah. But they literally like cut us off at the neck, like because it's admin, because this is one big joke is like the admin stuff, like GOMARs and admin separations and stuff, because what it does is it protects the command where they can get away with essentially doing stuff in a court-martial trial that would be immediately thrown out and it would be illegal as fuck. But there's completely different rules during admin stuff, which they can pretty much get away with whatever they want. And they can, like, all this stuff can be swept under the rug.
So it's... Let me ask you this. After the hell that you've gone through, mm-hmm. What would you do differently? And what do you tell other people who are in your position of where to go and what to do?
Hang on. I kind of unplugged my shit. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, yep. You're good.
Okay. The big thing is, like, especially in the soft community, if the CARE Coalition, if you've been attached to the soft community at any point in time, like, the CARE Coalition is literally the bee's knees, man. Like, almost their entire budget. Because I didn't know anything about the CARE Coalition. I just thought, like, when I got blown up in 2015, they just came and talked to me and, like, if you need help with med board and stuff, then that's all I knew it was for. But, like, 80% of their budget goes toward mental health and helping soldiers to like help send them to the Warrior's Heart and all these other nonprofit phenomenal programs and everything. And what really sucks is as a service member, like, excuse me, the fact that we have to play command roulette and we don't know if we can actually trust these people and go ask for help. But you can go like every you can self-refer yourself like on every installation. Like it's called the WISC here, which is here on Fort Bragg, and it's for it's like the mental health facility. Like you can go ask for help. And there's a ton of other nonprofits like the Silent Warrior Foundation. They help with PTSD and depression and stuff like that. I actually did a fundraiser for them a couple years back as well. There is a lot more help than like you're never alone. This is one thing I've learned from like seeing all my friends, so many friends take their own lives and everything. And I think this is one of the reasons why I stayed. I like didn't take my own life is because you don't know how big your support system truly is until you ask for help. And like, it comes out of the woodwork, man. Like there's so many people that have gone through the same thing that you've gone through. And you just have to have that humility and just be open and honest and go ask for help. Or you need to be that good friend and you know somebody's struggling and be honest. And that way they're going to open up their door to allow that support system into them.
Yeah. Yeah. You mentioned Warriors Heart. We've actually sent quite a few people there and we've done plenty of fundraisers for them over the years. I was actually there about a week and a half ago, actually. Continuing just to your point, the point you're making right now, I think something that the veteran charity community, whatever you want to call it, is not doing a great job of right now is telling people what their fucking rights are. Because I don't think most people know until about 3 to 6 months into the process. And often by then it's too late, right? To do anything.
Absolutely. And that was like literally the case with me too. Like I didn't know. And so, but everybody is so ill-informed about the options that we have. And I still learn stuff like every single day, like talking to people and stuff. And it's just, there's so much out there and it's a disservice to the service member from the commands and everything like that. And like a lot of the commands don't know like at all about anything. They're like, oh, we have personal shrinks. And a lot of times it's some civilian and stuff that can't relate.
Like, but outside of like the care and health stuff, people don't know what it's the reason that it takes most E7 or above and most O3 or O4 and above about 18 months to fully retire if they're retiring because they have no idea what the fuck's going on. Everything takes forever. Nobody knows anything, even at the command level. So those are the people that are in direct charge of all the people who would be getting out under normal rotations. Like I did 5 or 10 years or whatever. Now I'm leaving. The people that that usually are trying to move on with their lives at that very point, which means the care and help for them might be a little bit more important because they're now leaving the system with all their fucking support guys around them. You know what I mean? And so the people, the senior enlisted guys and the fucking officers have no idea what they're entitled to, much less what their fucking troops are entitled to.
Right.
It's difficult. It's kind of like when the invasion started, you had guys who been in 15 years and they're like, hey bro, I ain't really done anything, and it's kind of hard when you don't know what you don't know to pass that information on. And mentorship is just, it's fucking terrible, man, though. Like the ones that know don't want to help you. They're at their rope's end because they've probably been carrying 30 other dudes, workload for so long. They're tired. But that stigma though, man, like I know for myself when, I found out I was sick around 16 years, you start hitting that point in your career, you start feeling alone. Like you do become detached from the world, like society as a norm. And I know like one thing I went through was you feel detached. You feel like nobody cares about you. You're just over here fighting this endless war and I'm doing great things, God's work, but nobody fucking cares, man. Mm. I'm just alone. But what was funny was I had I think it was a Green Beret Foundation or a Special Forces Foundation reached out and was like, hey man, we want to help you out. And I was like, no, I'm good. I'll take care of this on my own. And I had a sergeant major was like, dude, don't be a fucking asshole, man. Like, what's your problem? And I was like, what do you mean, dude? I was like, fuck, man. And he's like, dude, that's what they're here for. They're here for fucking you. And if you don't take it, somebody else will. But he's like, think about this, though. He's like, they're donating their hard-earned money, their time, their effort, everything else to care for you. He's like, how do you think you're making them feel when you don't accept that help, man? They care about you. And I was like, fuck me if that isn't some fucking real truth right there.
Yeah.
You know, and just, but yeah, the and I'm hoping that's what Matt's doing right here for a lot of people that are watching, man, and you guys, awareness, just flat out fucking awareness.
Yeah, no, look, we appreciate you guys coming on today to talk about it. Because again, it is a subject that nobody really wants to talk about. You know, like I know when I was at Neverland Ranch, it took me years to tell people that my asshole was licked and I wasn't there just playing with monkeys all day. And, you know, Dan helped me out of that.
Oh, you missed this episode we did, the monkey co-op episode. I'll have to catch you up on that. Yeah.
Wait, did he help you? Was he in the monkey suit?
Oh, no. This is about me wanting to, I want a monkey co-op, which is where a group of people get together and spend the money to buy a monkey and then hire a caretaker. And we can all just go see the monkey whenever we want. Because I think monkeys are funny. Like those little ones.
It's like a monkey hostel.
Yeah, but Michael Jackson, to your point, was just using them to distract the kids while he licked their buttholes.
Yeah, and it was the same thing. Like, it was 5 years, and before you could get out or age out, you know, in my case, like, I aged out. Mm. You know, once I hit 15, he was like, dude, you're too old. We got to get the fuck out of here. And you know, I haven't been on a roller coaster since, whatever. It's not my show today. You know, I'm a vessel today. Ironically, there was two monkey incidences in Dripping Springs where I live. One was Jesse James.
I saw one where a fucking monkey bit a stripper or some shit.
No. The stripper's monkey bit a child.
Oh, correct. Okay.
At a Halloween party.
Oh yeah, that's right. She told him to stay out of the back.
I read that.
She told him to stay out of the backyard, and the dumb kids went back there and they got bit by a monkey. To me, that sounds like natural selection.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah. If there's a big warning sign and you're old enough to read the damn thing and you don't warrant, at least behave as though you've been warned, then that's kind of on you, I think.
Yeah, the Jesse James one though, motorcycle guy, obviously. That was in an HOA group on Facebook of, hey, somebody's monkey is in my house. Before I call animal control, do you know anybody who's got a monkey? And they were like, yeah, dude, it sounds like it's Jesse James's monkey. And sure enough, it was. That's great neighbors. That's great neighbors.
Yeah.
Whoever's dog that is, put that down.
that's
we're doing an interview for millions of people here. Got to put the dog down. I'm sure you're carrying right now. Just get an end his life for another 10 minutes and we're good.
Bella, go lay down.
Yeah.
Put a.
What's the dog's name?
Bella. It's our girl dog.
Oh, God.
She's a blue nose pit.
You didn't name it Bella, did you?
No, we rescued her. That was her name.
Rescued her from what? Like Vietnam?
Yeah.
Yes. Hang on real fast.
It's fine. It's fine. Put the dog on camera. Let's let the dog talk for 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah, at least let us see the dog. Shit.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's fine.
I like how you had mental health problems and the first thing you did was get a pit bull. As if you need that on your fucking mind every day.
No, she's awesome, dude. She's like 9 years old. She's like 9 years old. We got a Dutch Shepherd and he's 7. He's a maniac.
Did you rescue her from Michael Vick's house?
Yes.
Okay. I didn't know they were up for adoption. A lot of people took them. You know, you seem like that type of guy who'd take a dog like that.
Go Eagles.
Yeah. No, we rescued her. She was in pretty bad shape when we got her and everything, but yeah, she's a little rock star.
Right on. So what are you doing with your time now?
So like the big thing that I'm really trying to work on at the end of the day is I want to work with these congressmen and senators to get a bill passed to like protect the soldiers, because one of the big downfalls and for soldiers going to ask for mental help is like commands have yes or no say over your service or your medical service provider. Because my doctor literally was like, hey, we want to, I still want to get him mental health and put him in to this mental health. And my command goes, absolutely not. That ship has sailed. He's going to go to Sudsy for drug and alcohol, but that treatment didn't start for 30 days. Mm-hmm. And I just sat in a room at my lowest of lows staring out a window. And the fact that a command can overrule a medical provider's recommendations, like that stuff needs to be thrown out the window, man. And that's like one of the main things that I'm hoping to work with Senator Hudson's office and or Congressman Hudson's office and Senator Einhoff's office to be able to pass this bill. Like, hey, man, like the like once you're under the care of this of like a medical professional, like your command's hands are off. Because when I like I was said earlier, when I was in treatment and everything, there were so many soldiers in there, and they like commands only care because they have to. There was so many dudes in there, and commands use it as a babysitting tool until they're done with their paperwork, and they'll yank them out of treatment and throw them out on the street with not, they don't get the treatment they so desperately need and deserve. And
I remember how long, I think it was 4 days between being on patrol in about 800 meters away from Sauter City to driving around Fort Bragg. That seems like there should be more time in between those two events. You know what I mean? It's not even in our normal day-to-day lives, that shit's not built in, but much less when a dude is having fucking issues and needs to get tuned up a little bit. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't even, that's my, always my point. It does. Those things don't even exist at the very lowest level. So of course, when you get up here and there's an actual issue, nobody knows what the fuck to do. Like, there's a lot of toxic command climates out there, but I really believe that a lot of those dudes don't even know what they're allowed to do. That's why your fucking old commander probably just said, hey, go take 30 days and figure it out, dude. We need you. You know what I mean?
You know what, though? At the end of the day, I totally agree with you. But at the end of the day, though, it's not that fucking hard just to be a human with some humanity and just say, hey, bro, sit down. Or, hey, you know, to a female, sit down. Let's just talk. You know, like, are you okay? How are you doing?
Yeah, for
maybe
sure.
I don't know the fucking answer, but what can I do for you? But, you know, like what Matt says, and they say, oh, you know, fuck you, I don't have time for you, kick you out. And then you go off yourself, and then they're like, why is everybody killing themselves?
Yeah,
it's like, are we that dumb? Or, what's the issue here, really? You know?
Yes, but, yes. The answer is yes.
Yes, it's always yes. Yeah. Everybody's and, dumb. Yeah. Everyone is dumb. And assume everybody's dumb, by the way. You have to. Right.
Yeah, you and, do. You really do.
Like, this really attests to, like, I still, like, consistently, like, every other week go and talk to my mental health provider and everything. And this is, like, an alarming statistic, like, talking to her and stuff, and she's like, you know, almost every single suicide that we have on Fort Bragg, they're not even enrolled in our mental health system or anything. And like, that's a huge testament to like, people are afraid to come ask for help because they know it's going to be command roulette and they don't know if they're going to get the help that they need and they're not going to be protected. And like, that needs to change. Like, you need to be able to, as a service member, like as a human being, be able to go talk to somebody and be open and honest and genuinely get the help that you need and deserve. And once I did, like it's been over 2 years for me now. And like, I genuinely feel like I'm a success story. And like, even though like my command was using me to talk to all of our students and everything about like, hey, mental health and everything. And I mean, I genuinely gave them my own personal number. I talked to them on my own time. Like I'd take them to the gun range and everything and like teach them and everything, just kind of like genuinely on a personal level, talk to them and stuff. Because I mean, these are like E3s, E4s and everything. They're looking up to E7s and stuff. And when you come out and you show that you have some kind of vulnerability, it humanizes you and they're going to open up and they're going to be like, okay, it's okay to go ask for help and everything. And that's the way it should be. And it's just not that way.
On a scale of 1 to 10 today, where would you say your mental health is at?
I would say it's been pretty consistently, like an 8 or 9. It's not an immediate fix. It's always going to be an uphill battle, but you learn your coping mechanisms and learn your triggers and everything. Once you open up and have that humility and
weights don't get lighter. You get stronger, motherfucker. That's how it works.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? People never seem to realize that when it comes to mental health issues, weights do not get lighter. You get fucking stronger, period.
Yeah.
And knowing your triggers is important. And nobody will tell you that more than Alec Baldwin today.
Yeah.
So at least, you know, at least, you know what yours are. He clearly did not.
Did you see that picture of him photoshopped as John Travolta in Pulp Fiction? No, yeah, that one's good. That one. That's a good
one. It's a great time to be alive from the meme game.
Oh, yeah. Meme game is, you can't defeat the internet.
No. Internet is absolutely undefeated.
Yeah, everybody thought it was going to turn into fucking Skynet or whatever, and it's just a bunch of kids making fucking dick memes and shit.
That's it. That's it. I read one today, this morning, about, you know, the fat black kid who was like 9 years old, who was in the Popeyes?
Yeah, the side eye thing.
I saw that one. Yeah. He's a state champion now.
Yeah. He just won a state championship in New Jersey football. But he talked about what it was like being a meme from age 9 his entire life. And he goes, dude, you want to talk about mental health issues? He had them. And he was just like, dude, and they kept calling him like Sirio or whatever the meme name was. And he goes, it's not my name, dude. It was like fucking Craig or something like that. And he goes, imagine being called that and everybody's looking at you and everybody wants to talk about the meme and you're 9, 10 years old and you don't know what's going on.
Yeah, you just got back from Neverland.
Yeah, wild story. But state champ, state champ. Wow. Now's the point in the show we get to the drinking bro of the week, which is someone who has inspired you or helped you become the person you are today. Today is actually a friend of the show, Mike Boscovich. Mike, if you don't remember, helped me out during the flood. He's out of Michigan, helped out with the restoration process when I was going through it. Huge, huge listener, fan of the show since day one. His mom just passed away.
Yeah, he texted me the other day.
Yeah, and his boss actually sent us an email and said, hey, here's what happened. He loves your show more than life itself. If you could give him a shout out on the show, that would really help his spirits. Mike Boscovich, man, just know that we're thinking about you. And
by the way, his boss, didn't he make us sign something that we weren't going to poach him?
Yeah.
Or some shit.
Yeah, this was and rightfully so.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
because look, everybody's trying to steal any job in construction. Trust me, Austin is trying to steal them.
Anybody that will do any actual work as a human being,
yeah,
is very valuable, right?
And
now.
And they were very grateful for the, because I sent a letter. They were very grateful for the letter. We're very grateful for your email. Otherwise, this is something that people don't talk about that much, you know, as far as like a family member passing or something like that. I'm friends with Mike. I did not hear that from Mike, but I heard it from his boss. And just know that we're thinking about you, and I'm sure you're going through it. And cheers. Cheers to you, Jeep and Justin. We appreciate the donation here. Know that that'll go to food to feed me. Richard, ironically, everybody's asking about you. What type of treatment are you on that makes you look this great? I'm not kidding. The chat is filled with it.
So I'm doing it's Opdivo, just like in the commercial, man. I see. I just go down once a month. Ironically, a lot of people, my mom's posted on like Facebook and people have called her a liar and stuff because generally it doesn't work for my cancer, but it's working. And I don't know, man, for whatever reason, but, yeah, Opdivo, I think now they're doing like Opdivo with Yervoy. It's not prep hasn't really shown anything for me yet. So it's just Opdivo at the moment.
Okay, great. Yeah. Derek Bell, a bunch of people have been asking, cause I wasn't lying at the top of the show. You look fantastic and you look a million times better than when you were originally on the show.
Right. You know, I've just it kind of in line with this mental health issue. Just I'm trying to just, what am I going to do, man? Sit at home and just fucking dwell and be pissed and angry and sad all the time. I'm just trying to fucking rock it as fucking long and hard as I can. And, you know, I try to still reach out to dudes that need help like Matt. And I don't know what else to do. You know, like I said, I'm going to have plenty of time to die. So why am I going to do it fucking now? You know, I choose just to try to be happy, find the meaning of life somehow, some way, and just keep crushing it, man. I mean, the more shit I do, the better my life seems to get. That's one thing I've learned to adopt is the more I've learned to care about others and less about myself, the better my life seems to be getting. And I'm not asking for shit. I don't want shit. I just want to help out. But I don't know, man. I don't know what the secret is. You know, just I'm surrounded by good fucking dudes. You know, I met you two. That was fucking one of the best times of my life. And you know, it was something that I needed at that time. Like, I don't know if you guys really truly understand just your genuine humor and personality that you guys bring. What it brought for me that specific day, that day lives with me. It was a very, very special day for me because it was a very rough day. But yeah, man, I just that accompany with good friends and family, you know?
Well, just know that it's reciprocated. Mm-hmm. It was a very special day for us. We were glad to help out, and it was a miracle that passed through Congress and all that other stuff. And in the meantime, Matt, where can everybody find you and help you out in your organization?
Like my Instagram is beamteam_shooting. Like I said, my big thing is every year I do a huge fundraiser for the VA Hospital Adaptive Athlete Program. And I raise money that way. And then like for myself, for my situation, I can't really, because I'm still active duty, I can't really ask for help. And it's kind of shitty that, though I'm getting chaptered out of the Army and everything at the moment, but there's, hopefully a hammer is about to be dropped and everything. But, my big thing is, if you want to help me and like help others like me is, just be a friend, man. And those who are going through what I did is like, pull a little Jimmy B out of this. It's like, don't give up, man. Like, don't ever give up. There are people that genuinely care about you out there. You're not alone. And just say something, talk to somebody. And there are people there that will back you and will help you at the end of the day. And like, don't ever give up. You're not alone. So
cheers. Well, hey, man. Gentlemen, thank you for being on the show today.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. It's always great chatting with you, especially about topics that we don't often get to chat about, but I think it's great for the audience and it means a lot. Thank you. For D'Anthony Holloway, I'm Ross Patterson. This is the Drinking Bros Podcast. Good night, everyone.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at USAHockeyNTDP.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.